How's it, everyone around the world, and especially to the South Africans listening all around the world? I hope everyone's doing well. Nick asked me to start this episode, and we'll see how it goes. Tell us, who do you prefer, me starting it or Nick starting it? Because I think the way Nick starts it is very boring.
Listen here, Ronald, you gave absolutely no oomph to that. It sounds like you couldn't be less excited about recording this episode. So how's it? How's it? How's it? You see, that's how it's done, Ronnie. You got to get your
That's just
anti-podcast
horrible.
voice on.
It just sounds so terrible. Anyways, maybe people enjoy it.
Yeah, I can't believe I've had to put up with your voice for 151 episodes now. Can you bloody believe it, Ronnie? What did you get up
Feels
to
like
over
we've
the
done.
weekend? Did you get to watch some of the Ruggers?
Yeah, watched all the raggers, as you can call it. Watched mucho rugby over Friday, Saturday, and also one game on Sunday. Also watched the cricket. I watched us dominate India. Sorry to anyone from India that's listening here. Probably not many, but wow, fantastic results all round.
Yeah, it was a very busy sporting weekend. I think our Super Brews both went pear-shaped, so maybe we won't harp on too much about those this weekend.
We are horrible at Super Brew. We've been horrible this whole Six Nations tournament. We haven't called a single one of, what we call the upsets, but in a lot of people seem to know exactly what was going to happen. I mean, yeah, England versus Ireland. Wow.
Yeah, very, very unexpected. Are you gonna? Oh no, I guess because you started the show, I must now do the shout out. Is that how this is gonna work, hey, Ronald?
Yeah, let's do that.
Leroy Daisel, Yuerster, Fernando Lenglet, Ian Weir, Amanda Gehringer, Andre Meads, and Kyle Preston. You guys are our Patreon chums. Thanks so much for sorting us out, guys, and helping us keep the show going for the full 80. We really appreciate your guys' support. Anyone that's listening to the show that wants to help out, guys, please check us out on Patreon. You get early access to the show and you get access to merch. And once a month, we'll be releasing a special episode for you guys there as we do interviews with players, coaches, and match officials. Ronnie, we do need to apologize to the listeners because this episode's going to be coming out a day late now. We had technical difficulties yesterday, but we're here and ready on this fine Monday morning, having digested all the rugby to hit our straps. So let's dive right into it then, Ronald. England 21. 42 Ireland, record win for the Irish, scoring 5 tries in Twickers.
Yeah, I did not see this one coming. We expected more from England and we expected less from Ireland, and they proved us wrong on both fronts. So Ireland played very, very well and England not so well. And yeah, it was just great seeing Pollock get his face rubbed into the dirt.
Yeah, he got a handful there from James Ryan, that's for sure. But I mean, first English defeat at home since they lost to us back in November 2024. They leaked 22 points in 30 minutes, Ronnie. So the English got quite a hiding. We spoke about them losing to Scotland the week before, thinking, this game is their chance to right the ship. Showed that was a bit of a once-off. And Ireland also coming here needing to prove a bit of a point. But I think only the Irish got done what they needed to in this fixture.
Yeah, absolutely right. Ireland obviously hurting a little bit after last week's result, and yeah, I didn't expect this to happen, but Ireland really put the blocks in the order that they should be, and they performed really well. They went over to Twickenham, like you said. It's not easy going over to Twickenham. It's not easy to win over there. It's an in-form England side. It's an in-form England side at home, or so we thought. And we were proven wrong. It was a very exciting game, though, if you're not English.
Yeah, it was a very exciting game to watch. I think Andre Piardi, the ref, he went off injured early in that fixture. Ronnie, do you think that has any sort of outcome on the result or influence on the result? Because we do know that teams prep to an extent on who the match official for that game is going to be. And what influence do you think that has on the outcome?
Yeah, it definitely does. I think I'm sure that I'm not sure the teams do play according to the ref about whether it's a ref that's going to allow the game to flow a bit more, or is it somebody that's going to be a bit more strict at scrum time. So you prepare in the week for that, but these guys are professionals, so they should be able to respond to it. It's always interesting as a neutral to see something like that happen. It doesn't happen often, but we have seen it a couple of times. We could think back to Jaco Pyper in the World Cup. Shame that was a hard one. But yeah, so these things happen, and it definitely changes the flow of the game a bit. But as I said, these people are professionals. They should be able to react to what's happening on the field.
No, absolutely, Ronnie. Then For any of our English listeners, you know, those that support England and the Red Roses there out of London and surrounds, you know, we're constantly hearing all over social media, all on these other podcasts, it's coming home, it's coming home. So just for clarity's sake, I'd really like to know what is coming home and when exactly is it coming home? Because I'm getting a little confused now.
Now you're just stirring the pot, eh? I've seen a couple of the memes that you've been responsible for as well that have been coming out on the socials that have also been stirring the pot quite a bit there, hey?
Yeah, you know, you've got to. When the Springboks are not playing, you've got to give it out so that you're ready and well aligned for when the Southern Hemisphere teams kick in, Ronnie. But, you know, this is another game that proves how crucial discipline is, because the English got two yellow cards in this one. Freddie Stewart going off and Henry Pollack also going off for yellows. Discipline is so crucial. And when you're, you know, already under so much pressure from that Irish attack, being a man short is going to cost you.
Yeah, look, I think with Pollock's one day, Ireland were well and truly ahead in the game. And that was maybe a bit of desperation combined with, you know, some youthfulness and the lack of discipline that comes with that. But yeah, look, it is unfortunate. You don't want to go up against a world-class side like Ireland. And you don't want to be a man down when that happens. You know, it changes everything. But look, again, these guys are professionals. They definitely, during the shadow session in the week, they definitely go down to 14 or 13 people and see how the players react on the field. But you don't want to be in that position against a world-class side like Ireland.
Especially when they're purring like they were in that game. And I mean, Jamison Gibson-Park was unreal. I haven't seen him have a game like that for the Irish in quite some time. He was pulling all the strings, the short passes, the long passes, the snipes around the ruck. He really looked to be at his best.
He had a complete game.
Absolutely. He was phenomenal. And then obviously the big point of debate is now around the tens, because George Ford is now very much on the outs. The English fans are upset with him, missing some kicks for touch. But on the reverse side, you've got Jack Crowley, who's come in. He certainly took his shot for me. And you know what? He proved you don't need to be a 9 or a 10 out of 10 in that fly half berth. But if you're a 7 or an 8 and you're putting the players around you perfectly into space and all of that, that's what you need. And he was consistent throughout the game. He made his tackles. He passed the ball. He got his kicks over. He did nothing crazy, but everything you needed from him in terms of basics, he ticked the box.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think we said it last week, though. Then again, based on the calls we made last week, I don't know if you can believe anything we say. But for me, Crowley is a choice 10 for Ireland at this point. Prendergast has a bit of a distance to go and some things to learn, and that'll come. But for me, Crowley is playing very, very well. And when he's not playing very, very well, he's doing enough to hold that back line together.
Yeah, no, I was quite impressed by his performance. Then, as I mentioned, on the reverse side, you've got George Ford, who 2 weeks ago was being hailed. You know, he's a test centurion for the English. They were loving him in that 10 jersey because England was on a 12-game win streak. 2 weeks later, and here they're calling for the axing of Steve Borthwick. They want George Ford to be gone. I mean, Andy Good is saying George Ford is officially done in an England jersey. I don't think it goes that quickly, but I must give credit to the man. He tackled Dan Sheehan one-on-one, and I don't think I could make a tackle like that. So as a couch coach over here, well done, George Ford, for knocking him down. You did make other mistakes in the game, but credit where it's due.
Yeah, we're a fickle bunch, the rugby fans, and I'm sure other fans from other countries would say the Springboks are even more fickle. And where we're sitting, we'll probably say that the English fans are the most fickle. And you know, just 1 or 2 weeks bad performances, and it's, you know, you're calling for the head of the coach, and you're calling for George Ford to step away. But George has, I think, played very, very well in a number of games now, and he's made some crucial decisions. He's gone for the drop goals. He's, you know, he's commanded that backline very well. So, you know, whatever the performance happens, you know, from this past weekend, I don't think we can throw the baby out of the bathwater just yet.
No, that's true. But the fickle English fans, they were leaving the stands there before the game was even done, disappearing faster than a brandy and brakpan at that point. We even saw the man from Top Gear ditching the stands. I forget his name, Jeremy Clarkson, walking out of the stands early. So that wasn't a good look. But Ronnie, there was a moment in that game that I'm pretty sure must have given you PTSD. Do you know what moment I'm talking about?
No, tell me.
You know, it must have reminded you of back in the day when we were down at LC de Villiers and you got that break and you thought you were away, and I paced it down and tackled you into touch. Stuart McCloskey on Marcus Smith, he got reeled in.
That's exactly why I couldn't remember it, because such a thing never happened to me. But yes, especially not from you, my friend. But yeah, you're absolutely right. That was very exciting all but through, and then all of a sudden chase him down. It's always nice to see.
Yeah, you need to see a bit of a goosey from Marcus there. Hey, you and him need to go for lessons with Jared, the rugby guy, and that he can teach you guys how to get around those.
Yeah, at least I can go for lessons. If you tried it, you'd probably pull 7 muscles.
So scrum time, I was also quite keen to watch what happened in this fixture at the scrums, because Ireland really have been struggling a little bit there. Yes, I got a lot of flack last week for my reel about the Irish scrums. Some guys.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A lot of your posts have been really stirring the pot there, and I agree with you. Yeah, it was an interesting one, and they did get pushed back last week, and this week, much of the same.
Yeah, maybe there's some Irishman listening to this can explain to me what the fact me being bald has to do with the Irish scrum going in reverse. There must be some kind of thing that goes on there.
That's very funny.
Which I had a good laugh at some of those comments, Ronnie. But in this game, the Irish scrum still looked to be an issue. You know, they were much better in other facets of the game, but their scrum is still not looking up to scratch. And it's a concern because, you know, Tad is there, and Sheehan is there, Kelleher is there. Yes, they might be a little bit loose in terms of replacements, but it should not be creaking in the way that it is.
Look, bottom line, you're going up against a world-class team like England, right? So yes, they've had now 2 weekends that they would like to forget, and it's not gone so well for them. But they were, 3 weekends ago or 2 weekends before the Calcutta Cup, everyone was raving about how great England was. And, they're a strong side with strong forward packs, and that's, they've prided themselves on having a good scrum. And you shouldn't worry when England starts pushing you back a little bit, because they are a quality side. I wouldn't worry too much if I was the Irish. And look, the Irish still managed to score 42 points. And like you say, the scrum was a little bit under pressure.
Yeah, then a big shout out to Mario Etoje. He got 100 test caps for England this weekend. That's always a huge milestone, and a career must span a good number of years to reach that milestone. So big shout out to you, Mario, and massive respect from us over here at Punt It. And then lastly, Ronnie, I just want to touch on Tommy O'Brien. You know, James Lowe went down injured early in that fixture. Tommy O'Brien came on, and man, oh man, did he have a banger. He was a handful out there, and he's got some bloody wheels.
Yeah, he's got some wheels, but according to anyone that you look at has probably got wheels.
Except for you.
No, look, well done to Tommy O'Brien. When Lowe goes down, you get a little bit concerned, because we spoke about him last week and the week before. Even when Ireland's not playing well, someone like James Lowe puts his hand up, always performs very, very well. So for him to go down is a concern. But then for O'Brien to step in and do what he does, do what he did, that's good. It's showing a bit of depth in that Irish backline. So it's good. It's a nice, good result from the weekend on multiple fronts if you're Irish.
Yeah, absolutely, Ronnie. Then over to the most heartbreaking game of the weekend. Yes, I felt so cuck for them after this game. Wales going down so narrowly at home, 23 points to 26 against Scotland. I really think we need to just take a moment to applaud the Welsh guts in that one, though, Ronnie. They were phenomenal. They were in every contest. Yeah. They didn't drop their heads. And also massive praise to the leadership of Dawie Lake, choosing to take the points, keeping the scoreboard pressure on, trying to build that lead. Well done, Wales. That was such a good game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. It's very heartbreaking, because Wales are deserving of a win. Wales need to do well. And then to get so close and have it taken away. And I love Scotland as well. So I was a little bit torn on supporting Scotland at the start and supporting Wales by the end. And it's very heartbreaking. Like you said, it's a real shame, because I imagine a couple of wins and Wales will have that confidence again to start performing much better week in, week out.
Yeah, and you could just see how badly they wanted it in this contest. And I mean, it was literally one moment of switching off that cost them the game, when Finn took the quick kickoff, Darcy Graham sniping through there, picks it up and dots it down just after the Welsh had scored. That was heartbreaking for them. And that was a moment that really turned the game back in Scotland's favour. Credit to the Scottish forwards, because they did manage to keep them in the contest, and slowly as the game wore on, managed to you know, get them over the Walsh pack. What did you think about Pierre Schoeman being subbed on before the half time? I think before Rassie, no one was getting subbed before 40 minutes, eh?
Yeah, it was a rarity just a few years ago, but I think it's good, right? Just because you get subbed off in the first half, it's not necessarily a bad thing. If you give it your all, if you're running out of steam already in the first half, you've done what you can. You can't give it anymore. And sometimes this happens, right? So you give it all and you do so well for many weekends, and just sometimes it's not your day and you run out of steam a lot earlier than usual. So yeah, I don't think if I was Pierre Schoeman, I'd be too sad. But yeah, these sort of strategic decisions, when made at the right time to the right player, you know, they can sort of change a game. And look, if you're Gregor Townsend, you were panicking in that first half for sure.
Absolutely. And I mean, it also shows why depth is so crucial in rugby these days, because the bench does have a massive impact. So you can have a really strong starting team, but you also need those finishers coming off, you know, that can lift the intensity. It's not enough these days just to continue what's going on the pitch. They really need to come on and inject something into the game. And I think that's still an aspect that Wales really needs to work on. And I'm sure they will. We've seen an improvement week on week from them so far. So I don't want to take anything away from them here. We will see them coming back to their best, I'm sure. But Alex Mann, he was incredible for the Welsh in this game. 4 steals, 1 line-out steal, and 15 tackles. I don't think you made that in a whole season, hey, Ronnie.
Please, don't chirp me, my friend, when we know that on every front, my stats are better than your stats. But yes, brilliant performance. That's the sort of stuff you want to see.
Yeah, and I think the loss of Sam Costello as well, when he went off injured, was a big loss to them. He was running that back line quite nicely, and it did seem like they lost a bit of a foot off the pedal and once he was taken off the pitch. Ronnie, what about Duan van der Merwe and Blair Kinghorn? They were back in this Scottish outfit this weekend. What did you think of their returns?
Yeah, valuable and experienced players for the Scots in a tight game like this, where, you know, it came down to the last 10 minutes and, you know, you needed the experience to say it's get everyone to stay calm. I thought, you know, Duan plays, he's exceptional, right? He's a massive wing on the side. We're seeing, in this day and age, we're seeing our wings getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And he's still a big unit and very valuable. And look, I've been raving about Kinghorn for a while now. You know, played his trade very well over in France. You know, fantastic. I you know, when Kinghorn plays in the back line, he brings a lot of stability. And with Duan there, you know, very experienced winger out wide, it brings that stability. There's not much more to say than just trusting your backline.
Yeah, I think Blair Kinghorn definitely justified his selection. I can see that Duan is still a little bit off the pace. I mean, he's a phenomenal player, but for what we've seen him produce in the Six Nations in previous years, I think, you know, game time is needed to get back to that. And that's what he got this weekend. So great to see them both back in the Scottish jerseys. Ronnie, I have to ask you, though, why on earth do you think the Welsh are choosing to play with that roof closed against France and Scotland? Because you want it slippery. You want it wet. You don't want a team that thrives on the ball going wide to have a nice, clean, dry ball.
Yeah, look, I think one argument is how the game unfolds in different conditions. But at least with the roof closed, you know it's not going to be wet, so you could train that way. Number one. Number two, you don't want your fans necessarily sitting in the terrible Welsh weather that they have there. So I'm sure that the roof is closed just to make the atmosphere a little bit more enjoyable for the fans.
Fair enough. Ronnie, then over to France. It surprised me to see they weren't playing in the Stade Français this weekend. They were playing in Lille, like Little Wayne, but the French version, Lille. And France, you know, the victory here was 33 points to 8. I don't feel like that illustrates the closeness of this game and how well Italy has played. I think Italy has been the surprise package of the Six Nations before. Their scrum was holding France and really putting France under pressure. So to start there, well bloody done to the Italians on that.
Yeah, look, and France have slipped up against Italy a number of times in recent years. So Italy were in with a shot, and like you say, they put together a couple of performances now that are quite impressive. So it would be nice to see a win there. But look, France's depth at the moment is quite scary. But well done to Italy for fronting up. Those forwards that they have, They are some ferocious and some really strong forwards.
It actually gives me a lot of confidence for the 2027 World Cup now that Italy is in our pool, because that means we're going to have a bit of a contest game there and we're not going to be as, unpolished as I feared we might be going into the later stages of the competition. So I'm very, very grateful for that. But speaking of the French depth, Jalibert was ruled out before kickoff. Thomas Ramos was moved to 10 and Adisogbe to 15. Didn't look like they missed a beat. They were still as comfortable as ever running the show there. Dupont really looks like he's back in form now too. But an area that truly hurt the Italians, Ronnie, was their lineouts. They've got the scrums down, but the lineout woos, big, big problem.
The lineout woes.
Close.
Fair enough. Yeah, look, those sorts of things happen. All of the set pieces are important. It doesn't help that you do well at the scrum and then drop your game somewhere else. You're going to put yourself on the back foot like that. You need to be firing on all of them. And if you aren't firing on one of them, you need to double up on another. So, but look, the Italians, had they fixed their lineup troubles, had that not plagued them throughout the game, could have been a lot closer. But like you said in the beginning, I think the score flatters France a little bit. Italy performed a lot better than the score suggests,
No,
regardless
absolutely,
of their
Ronnie.
lineout woes.
It was 5 tries to 1, which also doesn't show the game that Italy played because they really were on it. The line breaks were so close, Italy having a majority of the possession for a large portion of the game too. But what this game did show us is that the French can attack from anywhere. And Bielbieri has unbelievable pace. He is so bloody quick. That try he scored off Dupont's chip kick was phenomenal.
He's going to be World Player of the Year
Yeah, it's looking like it
once at
from
least.
now, that's for sure. Ronnie, what do you reckon? France to get the Grand Slam?
Yeah, I don't see how they can drop this one though. I think they can do it. I think they will do it.
Yeah, I think they've got it. They've got England at home and Scotland still to come. I think France have got the Grand Slam and the Six Nations in the bag now. Then over to the Irk. There was one game this weekend, Ronnie. It took place at the emptiest of empty Ellis Park Stadium in Johannesburg. And the Lions walked away victorious over the Sharks for the second time this season, 34 points to 22. Is it the head coach
Who
curse?
did we both back?
The Sharks.
Yeah, I see every call we made this weekend, the opposite happened. Yeah, look, I don't know what happened. I expected more from the Sharks, and this is just a reminder to me as to why I've been very disappointed for a couple of years now. Well done to the bloody Lions, really. Well done to the Lions. If you're a Lions fan, those players play for each other. And you could be very proud as a Lion fan.
Yeah, I'm sure Harry is busy listening to us now. So well done, Harry. Your team got the win. We will give it to you this week. But yeah, that means the South African Shield is still up for grabs, Ronnie. It's a contest there. The Lions will be taking on the Stormers this coming weekend, and the Sharks are coming up to Pretoria to face the Bulls at Loftus. But in this game, the Boks were not available. And this really again shines the light on why this global season is so important, that you can have the best players on the pitch when it matters in these derby games. So hopefully that's something that's really going to be dealt with properly now when the shape of the game talks take place.
Yeah, yes and no. I think you do need to give your depth a little bit of game time as well. So rotation is important regardless, and you need to manage your players though correctly. But look, I think a global season's very important regardless. We had an opportunity with COVID, we didn't take our chance.
I do agree with you that rotation is crucial, but I think the way Rossi does rotation is the way it should be done all over. You rotate youngsters in and amongst experienced players. You don't just throw them to the wolves.
This is true. You don't do a big sub out.
Yeah. So, Ronnie, then we've got the Irk Games coming back for 1 week as the Six Nations takes a bit of a pause. So it's two South African derbies on the cards, Lions versus Stormers. That's at 2:30 on Saturday. Kickoff there. Who's winning that one?
I'd like to say the Stormers, but look, based on what happened this past weekend, I'm going to back the Lions.
Sorry that you had to hear that, Lions fans, because if Ronnie's backing them, they're certainly losing this weekend. And then over to Loftus, Bulls versus Sharks. I have two
You
bottles
fella.
of whiskey bet on this game, so I have to say the Sharks are going to take it by 9 points. 5 o'clock
Oh,
kickoff.
9 points. 9 points is a lot. To go over to Loftus and beat the Bulls by 9 points. Oh, I can hear it, me.
We'll have to see there, Ronnie. And then I think we would be remiss as two forwards, one of us a front rower, not to give a huge shout out to Pantofel over there, James Slipper, playing in Super Rugby for the Brumbies. He scored a try, a very rare try for the big man, in his 200th Brumbies game as they beat the Crusaders in Christchurch. So Pantofel, well done, Chom. That was epic.
And that's where we'll leave it for this week. As always, plenty to agree with.
Plenty to disagree with.
And at least one take that's probably completely forked.
If you enjoyed the episode, do us a favor, share it with a mate.
Or send it to someone who's going to argue with you about it.
Get involved on the socials. Let us know where we're right.
And especially where Nick's wrong.
Remember to join us on Superbrew and support us on Patreon.
We'll be back next week and to do it all again.
Cheers, Chorms.